When the Iran war started, President Donald Trump said it would last 4 or 5 weeks. It's now been almost a month, and he appears eager to declare victory and get out. He'll also want to have achievements he can point to, namely the depletion of Iran's military capacity in the region. But as Ned Temko points out in today's Patterns column, there's also an opportunity cost in going to war. That could prove to be President Trump's pre-war goal for a more collaborative and economically robust Middle East. It's Friday, March 27th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. A federal judge declined to dismiss the case against ousted Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro and his wife. In a hearing in New York on Thursday, the couple, who have pleaded not guilty to narco-terrorism-related charges, argued that they should be released because the U.S. government is preventing Venezuela from helping to pay their legal fees. U.S. District Court Judge Alvin Hellerstein declined to do so, but he promised to rule soon on whether to order the U.S. government to allow Venezuela to help cover the couple's legal expenses. The European Parliament approved the creation of return hubs for migrants. The proposal allows member states to create the centers in third countries outside the European Union for migrants facing deportation. The text, which will also increase the legal detention period to 2 years, has been criticized by left-wing parliament members and non-governmental organizations. But those in favor say that strengthened return regulation is key to cracking down on irregular migration on the European continent. The International Olympic Committee banned transgender women from competing in women's Olympic events. The new policy, expected to take effect with the 2028 Los Angeles Games, limits eligibility to biological females and will require a one-time genetic test. It also restricts some female athletes with medical conditions, known as differences in sex development. The decision follows years of debate over fairness in women's sports and aligns with an executive order by U.S. President Donald Trump keeping men out of women's sports. It is expected to face criticism from human rights experts. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. President Donald Trump is urging a 15-point proposal for ending hostilities with Iran. But with the two sides far apart, he's also seeking leverage through threats against power plants or the potential seizure of strategic Harg Island with U.S. troops who are heading to the region. Anna Mulrine Groby reports for The Monitor. With all the focus on what the Iran war is or isn't achieving, the U.S. and its regional allies will have to grapple with an issue critical to the shape of a post-war Middle East, the war's opportunity cost. Ned Temko reports from London for The Monitor. Under cover of the Iran war, settler extremists have increased violent attacks against Palestinians in the West Bank. A range of Israeli leaders, from rabbis and former diplomats to Benjamin Netanyahu's hand-picked military chief of staff, are raising their voices in condemnation. Contributors Shoshana Solomon and Dina Kraft report from Tel Aviv, Israel, for the Some 40% of households in Maine struggled to afford essentials in 2023, according to a United Way report that measures financial hardship. Taking care of whoever needs it, without stigma, is a driving principle for the Maine Needs Organization. Cameron Pugh and Alfredo Sosa report from Portland, Maine for The Monitor. Our reviewers, March Picks, cover the globe and beyond, from stories about women in India blazing new trails and Eritrean immigrants following their dreams to an astronaut winging his way to Europa. Reviewers write for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on asking teens first before banning social media. When the ruling party in Britain proposed last year that the voting age be lowered to 16, one smart TV station went out and asked 16 and 17-year-olds what they thought of the idea. Of 500 surveyed, a bare 51% supported it. Only 18% said they would definitely vote. The Labour Party might have learned a lesson. To nurture maturity in teens, one must respect what maturity they already have and how they view their own potential and problems. Love means listening first, then legislating. The bill to lower the voting age has yet to pass. This year, as public pressure builds worldwide to ban teen use of social media, the UK government has commissioned a pilot test before making a power slap against tech giants such as Meta, Google, or TikTok. In a research trial in coming months, a few hundred persons aged 13 to 17 will voluntarily be banned from social media in their home for 6 weeks to measure the impact on their well-being and safety. The research, led by a team at the University of Cambridge and Bradford Institute for Health Research, is not only scientific, but also exemplifies a sensitivity to the nuances of both the harm and benefits of online content. Another group with access to social media will also be watched. The trial's restrictions will vary, such as setting different time limits to fine-tune possible regulations. We can act at pace on the results of the consultation on young people and social media, stated UK Technology Secretary Liz Kendall. Focusing only on evil aspects of online content might blind lawmakers, as well as court judges, to the good, such as advances in safe, supportive social media that might drive off the bad. Teens themselves can give advice on how to sift the chaff from the wheat. A blanket ban might end up not improving children's safety and well-being. Or teens could devise methods to skirt a ban. Working with them, as many parents have learned, can reduce social media's harms while enhancing mental growth in dealing with such challenges. In the United States, a Pew Research Center survey last year found 45% of teens agree that they spend too much time on social media, while a majority says it helps in making connections and expressing their creativity. A minority, 20%, say it hurts their mental health or grades. Thousands of lawsuits in the U.S. are now testing courts in deciding if tech companies should be held responsible for such harms. In two separate cases this week, verdicts held social media companies accountable for harm cited by young users. Solutions might lie in simply giving an ear to teens, both individually and society-wide. Close attention to their fears and aims can also spark self-regulation. This year, Britain launched a campaign called You Won't Know Until You Ask. It provides practical advice for parents in conversations with kids on internet use. Any government action, said Technology Secretary Kendall, must be informed by the experiences of families themselves. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how Jesus showed us the way to live out the purpose God has given us, to be a blessing. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt, Mackenzie Farkas, and Victoria Hoffman.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.